take me to get a burger and shake me. My cursed blood is your cursed blood, so come on back and be my bud. I can count goldfish on my fingertips, come back and give me presents on your business trips. Daddy, why did you bother me? If all you wanna do is bother me. Don't you know that I love you? I only wanna see more of you.
Hey there, French fry stealing dads and mayor's wives hidden in dog suits, and welcome to Drama Bomb, episode 7 of Flooping the Pig. I'm your favorite sad king spying on you from inside an inflatable horse, Brad Garoon. And with me, as always, is the man who cast the Lich King down, Justin Houston. And Kevin, I go wee-wee from my armpits, Ford. Today we'll be discussing the final two episodes of Season 1 and the first two episodes of Season 2 of Adventure Time. So, Justin, kick us off with a His Hero rundown.
Yes, absolutely. This is the episode where we're introducing to Billy! Billy. He's the greatest hero who ever lived. And he's amazing, and there's a song about him that we'll get into that stuff. And Finn and Jake, they idolize him. They think he's the greatest person to ever live. And they go, and they meet him, kind of stumble upon him and meet him by accident in this hidden cave. And he is very depressed now, or just, I don't know. He's just not into, like, saving people anymore or into violence. He kind of realizes it's all futile, that if he saves someone, he's probably just moving them into another predicament somewhere else. So it's he's gone to a dark place, and because they respect Billy so much, they kind of try to adopt some of his ways now, which involve being nonviolent, and it works not very well because these are two pretty aggressive dudes, and everything goes wrong to hilarious effect, and they realize that they need violence, and they convince Billy by showing him an old lady that he saved. That, you know, you can still be proactive and keep your violent ways, and it can still be effective. So a super funny episode with a super funny song.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting they introduced this big hero kind of out of the blue. And you guys have told me before that this is a character they're going to come back to. But in this episode, it seemed like an all-encompassing thing. But I guess why bother introducing the big hero if they're not going to come back to him later? It was funny seeing Jake and Finn try and fail at all these jobs, because even though they seem like pretty normal jobs, they have their whimsy and magical stuff that go into each one of them, including surgery on Lumpy Space Princess, which it had been way too long since we had seen her in an episode. So even despite the fact that she turned into some weird human kind of looking robot deal, I enjoyed seeing her for the time being. And yeah, I enjoyed the episode overall.
Yeah, it's a pretty important one, I think. It may not seem like it on the outset, but a lot of cool groundwork is laid for the future. Some of it a little more overt. We see Billy. We've talked, like you guys have both said, we've talked about how Billy is important later. We also see the Lich. Justin, you already talked about how much you like the song. It scared the crap out of me when you screamed Billy into your microphone. Why don't you take us through the song like you were telling us off air and why you think it's important?
No tongue. Who's the greatest warrior ever? A hero of renown! Who stayed in evil ocean? Who cast the Lich King down? Billy, in the time the evil flagger captured a death of fail. Who saved her with the free bread she offered him a hair? Billy, also, he fought a bear! Billy!
Oh, yeah! That was the most mathematical thing ever!
Yes, a lot of lyrics kind of lean into different stuff in the Adventure Time universe, specifically kind of the loosest connecting tissue is the time that he saved a damsel from the fire count. And the fire count looks exactly like the Ice King does. And you never see him again because Billy just smites him. So I found that, I mean, the nose is the same, the smile, the crown, everything's the same, but he is now smoten and has not returned. So that's kind of interesting.
Do you think I don't know how to say this without spoiling stuff. All right, Justin.
Do you need me to stop listening?
No, well, I might need half the audience to stop listening, but let's let's see, half of our huge audience. Let me think of how to say this. Okay, we know that the Ice King was not always the Ice King, right? He wasn't born that way.
Right.
Do you think that there was a guy like the Ice King who became the Fire King?
Yes. To not sort of spoil some other connective stuff that we'll get to down the road, I think this is a recurring theme, and I have some compelling evidence to back it up.
Ooh.
So that's like a long tease for like months down the line for an episode.
Maybe maybe 1 week we can do a spoiler show, because I don't know if I want to wait to hear your theories.
I know, right? It'd be a crazy wait. Without saying anything about it and without going into it, Sons of Mars is the episode.
We don't have to wait that long. Yes, so. We do. Okay, that's annoying. All right.
It's pretty long time away, but yes, I think so.
Talk about the evil ocean.
Yes, he said they slayed an evil ocean, which of course is the unconquerable fear that Finn has, that he sort of has to get over the fact that it's this, you know, unconquerable part of himself. And the fact that he's a hero and Billy is also here, but he's slain that. He has defeated the thing that Finn fears the most, makes him, I guess, ultra heroic. But then you pointed out that later on in the series, there's a shown connection between, without spoiling it, there's a connection between Billy and Finn that is kind of explored, and that it may actually be a direct result. This horrifying ocean may have led to Finn's fear of this of all oceans anywhere. So
What was the lyric? He fought. It's just he fought an evil ocean. Isn't
slayed.
It?
He slayed, oh, slayed an evil it? Ocean. Mm. Yeah.
Because I was thinking maybe he didn't kill the evil ocean, and the reason that Finn doesn't know why he's afraid of the ocean, because he's okay with ponds and streams and rivers and lakes, but he's afraid of the ocean. I thought maybe the reason Finn was afraid of the ocean was because it was that same evil ocean, but apparently not. Because
just a subconscious, maybe.
Maybe that might be it. Maybe that connection I mentioned earlier off air is the connective tissue, because we know that this show is very serious about continuity.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that makes sense. Yeah, that's how I interpret it as well. And the last sort of direct reference to something important is the Lich King, who becomes a very powerful and important figure later on in the show, this season, in fact. So that's something to look out for, again, in future episodes after watching this one.
When you say this season, you mean season, like, actually, the season that we'll be talking about later in the episode.
Not... Yes, that's true. We're still on season one. I should say that we're segueing into season two, and that's where he becomes important.
Right. It's actually not necessarily the last. I was thinking about this. It's not necessarily the last direct reference to a character we'll see later, because the song does mention that Billy fought a bear, and a bear also factors heavily into a future, a very important storyline.
It's true. This bear, though, is a floating head of a bear with little arms and legs. Right. Because I kind of thought, have we seen that guy again? No, never. He, I'm sure, like the evil ocean and the Lich King and Fire Count and the bear, that he smote them good.
That's fair. No, but there is a bear that becomes important later.
That's true. Yes.
Okay. So good. So the bear.
Well dissected.
Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of bears and other monstrous looking things, Finn and Jake have to contend with a pretty gnarly monster in the season one finale, Gut Grinder. The episode begins with Finn and Jake arguing over Jake's viola. Finn tries to play it. He's terrible at it. And Jake is very upset by that and talks about how the viola has to be played a certain way, his way, da da da. That becomes important later in the episode. After, they hear various villages crying over the victimization that they've been dealing with by a creature called the Gut Grinder, who comes and steals their superfluous gold. You ever notice that money doesn't play a huge role in Adventure Time?
Not until you mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, it does here and there. There's stuff, but like Finn and Jake have a lot of loot in their treehouse. But they never, you never really think about, like, they never have to buy. Where does their food come from? Oh, except for Meat Man. But we'll get to Meat Man later.
They can just eat people at this point.
Right. I mean, that's true. Anyway, the story gets complicated where the witness accounts of the Gut Grinder make him sound a lot like Jake. Jake starts to believe that he might be the Gut Grinder. Finn doesn't believe it, but they have to find and capture the Gut Grinder anyway. So, Kay Ford, what did you think of the season one finale?
It was funny. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Jake getting really defensive when people called him cute, and he tried to be all tough and such, and he didn't like that he was only he wanted to be hot too. But there was parts too where he's like, "I'm not cute. I'm tough and mean." Like in the soft people village, where the people just like me apparently went wee wee from their armpits. And then, of course, as you said, Jake was worried that he was the Gut Grinder in his sleep. But as we found out, Finn watches him while he sleeps, so we know that can't be true.
What a if I am the gut grinder?
What?
What if I'm, like, stealing gold in my sleep?
You can't be stealing gold in your sleep. I watch you while you sleep.
What? Yo, Finn, that is creepy, man.
I can't help it. I take pictures.
I would like to see those pictures.
Why? I guess that would be kind of interesting. Because sometimes Finn says some really hilarious things when he sleeps, as we know.
And also, you mean Jake?
Yeah, I need to really stop.
You're so bad at that.
I am. I do my best to try to get it to work, but it's just not sticking.
Oh, well, you'll get it someday.
Someday. So, I really like the spiky people. I thought they were funny. I thought the revelation that the wife of the mayor was the villain because she thought Jake was really hot was an awesome reveal. And this is an interesting way to end the first season because the Adventure Time logo gets smashed by a bunch of things as we go to the credits. So, yeah, like I said, interesting.
Justin, did you find the way that Jake reacted to being treated like an actual dog with his, you know, ecstasy and strange eye gazing? Did you find that disturbing like I did?
I didn't until after the fact, because I feel like the more you watch this show, the more you become immune to these sort of subtle perversions that you experience, and that the suggestions that they make about certain things that, again, go undetected by kids, but as adults just sort of unsettle you. So this wasn't as bad as some other things I noticed, so maybe I didn't really think about it until I kind of heard you say it.
What did you guys think about this episode as the season one finale, like as the capper to what would eventually be a much more story-intensive show?
It's an odd choice because nothing really huge or massive or anything happened at the end, or, you know, some shows like to either have a conclusion or a cliffhanger to take you into the next season. This really had nothing of the sort. But see, I didn't know if this was like at first until I realized how big of a universe they live in and how deep they are into it, that I figured it was just one of those shows where after they reached a certain number of episodes, they just collected them and said, all right, this is a season or a volume or whatever, and released it. So that's kind of what I figured when I first watched this episode.
Like Aqua Teen style.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting. I always assumed that all of season one was sort of taken as every episode is sort of self-contained. It's interesting because, like, obviously Marceline, their relationship to Marceline evolves throughout the season. But aside from that, there's not much continuity between any of the episodes as the season goes on. So I figured maybe like Kevin said, you know, we know that some of these episodes aired out of sequence from their production. I know you said something about like how Business Time was the episode where they realized they wanted to add continuity, but do you know if they decided in season two to really make the show serialized?
I don't. I should clarify that episode is really the one where they realized that they didn't have to put this in a fictional place. They could put it where we exist. And so that's where the continuity to our world and that connection really formed. I don't know whether they always planned on having like callbacks and references or just attention to detail or not. That could just be Penn Ward style. But the connection to our world started there. So I don't read a whole lot of interviews with people, so I can't say for sure. But you're right, it's much more connective in later seasons, even within the season itself, than season one, perhaps because of all the setting up they do.
Well, speaking of worlds connected to other worlds, Finn and Marceline have to contend with a world connected to another world, those worlds being Ooh and the Nidosphere in It Came from the Nidosphere, the season two premiere. In it, Finn and Marceline are jamming, and Marceline sings a sad but amazing song about her father being not a great father. Finn doesn't like what he hears and tries to reunite Marceline with her father, and scary, scary things ensue, like Marceline's father stealing her axe, which she cherishes a lot, and rampaging Ooh and stealing the souls of the inhabitants of Ooh.
Of all history's greatest monsters, you are by far the most evil thing I've encountered. Offer your soul to me, Dark One.
Quack, quack.
No! You can't have my soul! I don't even... Look, just get in here.
Quack, quack.
Keep your crummy soul.
Both Finn and Marceline want to stop Marceline's dad for their own reasons. And I personally think this is a marvelous episode.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. Just because it gets into a lot of what makes Marceline interesting later. You get a big dose of it here. Two things, the sort of her painful past and her selfishness, which she is so narrow in vision that it really gets her into trouble later on. When she wants something or when she says something, that's it. There's no discussion. There's no changing, you know, there's no changing anything. That's the way it's going to be.
You know, she's not mean. She's 1,000 years old and she just lost track of her moral code.
Right. Exactly. You know, that's really all it is she's just, she's not necessarily, you know, cruel or anything like that. She's just, you know, she's just concerned with herself really. And anyone else is just sort of superfluous. Which I guess you be if you outlived everyone you ever met. Well, almost. Tease! So, anyway. so, yeah, I like it for that. I like the emotional stuff really comes through well with her dad. And, you know, it's probably not – it's not necessarily the funniest episode, but it's just – it's one of those episodes you can point to and – really understand why the show is special and how it can be for adults and for kids at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with Justin. I thought this was a great episode. You know, estranged parents and children, that's a very heavy subject for a show like this to tackle, and it was very touching, especially when they reconciled at the end. I always like episodes where they take a secondary character and expand on them, and we get to learn a little more, so I really appreciated that. When I first heard the song in the beginning, I wasn't really paying attention to the lyrics. But I was listening to it, and I was like, this is incredibly sad and sorrow. And then you listen to it later, you're like, this is just about her dad stealing her fries.
Right, but you should listen to the extended version of this song. Go on YouTube, and everyone do this, go on YouTube and look up Daddy, Why Did You Eat My Fries? Or Fry Song by Rebecca Sugar, and listen to the extended version. It's brutally sad. The words are funny, but it's a bummer.
Yeah, the presentation is extremely sad, and that's how you can understand why Finn was so anxious to try to get her father back into Ooh so they could, you know, reconcile and be okay with each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was fantastic. A great way to kick off season two. And I forgot to mention it has maybe my favorite ending to an Adventure Time so far, where we don't see Jake at all this episode until the very end. And Finn, for some reason, is wearing a shirt that has a pocket in it. Doesn't usually, but in this episode it does. At the end, Marceline points it out and asks why he has it. And he goes, oh, this is where I keep Jake. And then Jake, without saying anything, just kind of turns over and farts. That's the end of the episode. It was so unexpected and so great, because at one point I did think, where is Jake this whole time? I'm surprised he's not around. And then we had that joke there.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I really like I've been saying this since I started watching the show. I really like how you see the pocket the whole time. You may or may not pick up that the pocket has never been there before. And when they finally pay off what's in the pocket, it's just very wonderful. It's wonderful. It's very wonderful.
And Jake farting to Marceline is kind of the response he might have.
Absolutely. He just farts right in her face because he hates her.
Or scared of her, or maybe a little both.
Speaking of being scared or some other emotion, Jake and Finn are feeling really tired because as the episode The Eyes begins, they recap a bunch of adventures that they went on over the course of, I believe, a week that have tuckered them right out and they've gotten no sleep. And when they get home and are finally able to try to go to sleep, whacked out poo-brained horse.
Pardon me, horse. I beseech thou to split from mine land this night. But I welcome thee to come back for some luncheth some other day, okay?
Forget it, man. This horse is whack. It's got poo brain.
Is on a hill outside their treehouse staring at them, making it so that they can't sleep. This causes tension between the two of them because they're so tired, and the fact that they can't get rid of the horse makes them feel, I'm guessing, impotent, because I think everything in the show relates to sex. And they have to find a way to get rid of the horse. When Finn finally loses his temper and kicks the horse in the patoot, we find that the Ice King was hiding inside of it, and he had been spying on them because he just wanted to learn how to be happy. That does not lead to peace between our heroes and the Ice King, but it does lead to a kind of a funny conclusion. Kevin, you really like that conclusion, huh? You IM'd me about it today.
I did like the conclusion. Yeah, this is a wacky episode. Kind of one of the more genuinely just funny on the surface kind of episodes until, I guess, the end may not be exactly on the surface. But yeah, it was so odd and so funny and so strange. And the ending is where Ice King wants to be happy and they say, well, you know, we sleep a lot. That's what makes us happy. Just rest. And so they all go to sleep, and Ice King, he closes his eyes, and he has a smile on his face, and he just says, I'm still not happy, as it goes to the end of the episode. I don't know why I enjoyed it so much, but I did. That's two good endings in season two so far. Let's see if we can keep this streak going.
What'd you think, Justin?
Yeah, in thinking about it again, it really reminds me of the way I like the Simpsons approach to comedy, in that there's equal parts really funny wordplay and then just absurdity, like physical absurdity. I really like, and it kind of reminds me of that, in that as adults we can appreciate their frustration and the dialogue that goes on between the emotional roller coaster that is Finn and Jake by the end of this thing, especially Jake kind of up and down on this horse, and it's driving him crazy. And at the same time, it's physically hilarious because two birds land on a horse and start pecking our heroes in the brain. And then something else that really made me laugh. Now I can't. Just the shot of him getting kicked out of that horse is incredible. And even sort of kid level language of saying the horse has whacked out poo brain, which
they said poo brain a lot.
Yes. Which every time baffled my 5-year-old daughter. So that was fun.
Well, there was that, and they turned the word math, which used to mean fun or just an exclamation, into the F-bomb in this episode.
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, which they continue to do. They sort of use it as a lot of different things. But I think they use it first as a kind of a replacement for a curse word earlier in the season, but it's not as bad as this. And this is very blatant.
Is there something that may have happened to have Finn change his mind on how much he liked math?
Absolutely. In the first episode, Princess Bubblegum tells him he's terrible at math.
There you go. So maybe that was the momentum shift.
Yeah, just a source of frustration.
There's a couple of things that I really loved about this episode. One of them was
LSP's quinceañera.
That was very funny. You guys, that's awesome. No, but that's all you guys. No, what I loved was Jake getting out of bed and screaming at Finn, and Finn screaming back at him, and eventually Finn loses his temper and just goes, well, if you weren't so darn handsome, all these animals wouldn't come and try to stare at us, or blah, 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 blah. I'm not good at remembering lines. But the best part by far, and a very important thing, not very important, but a nice little touch that gets called back to a lot as the show progresses, is we start to see the darker side of Peppermint Butler.
Right.
Finn and Jake have to help him with his dead goblin problem, which is very you've seen these movies where someone kills a hooker and then the mafia has to come and clean it up and they just tell the guy to be quiet. Well, that's essentially what happens with Peppermint Butler and this goblin. And we find out as the show goes on that Peppermint Butler has very, very, very dark connections in and beyond Ooh.
And that is always shown. That is something that is consistent from the first time that he speaks, which I think is in this episode. So that's something kind of interesting that, you know, we were talking about before, whether this was something they knew they were going to extend. Doing that kind of thing really seems like they knew what they were doing.
Who would have thought that a butler would have so much power and be so evil?
The guy who wrote Clue, maybe?
Fair enough. Which I actually got tickets to go to a Clue Quotathon screening, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Sounds great. Yeah. You know what else you're going to think is great, Kevin?
What's great?
Hashtag snail search.
Oh, the snail search, it continues. Yeah, let's talk about the snails in all these episodes, you guys. His hero, the snail, is hidden behind the pot of gruel that Jake and Finn are feeding to the people. It's one of the nonviolent good deeds they're trying to do to make the world a better place, as their hero suggested. You only see the shell, however, but that's the snail in the episode, I promise you. In Gut Grinder, he's just hanging out by the spiky people when the mayor thanks Finn and Jake for helping them get rid of the Gut Grinder. Again, not that exciting. It came from the Night of Spears, probably the most interesting of all the snails in this one.
I found him.
You found this one, yes. When Finn goes into the soul sack of Marceline's father to go and try to help her retrieve or see what's going on, and he starts talking to LSP because she decided to crash the party since the Marceline's dad decided to steal the soul of the hot dog princess. One of the souls that is to LSP's left is the snail. It looks like he's saying, oh no, but he's still waving as he's swirling around, or his soul is swirling around. So soul of the snail really is in there.
It's actually to our right and LSP's, or our left and LSP's right.
Correct.
Just saying.
My apologies.
Just saying.
And then in the eyes, when they're going through the montage of all the activities that made Finn and Jake tired, they talk about capturing the Bandito, who's just some random character, I presume. The snail is on one of the rocks in that scene in the desert. It's the hashtag snail search.
Very nicely done, Kevin. I'm going to introduce a new segment here today that might not always be a part of the show, but it is today because we neglected to talk about it at all throughout the episode. I just want to run down real quick the list of very impressive guest voices. In His Hero, Billy was played by Lou Ferrigno. Perfect. Steve Little did a bunch of voices. All of the townspeople that Finn and Jake tried in vain to help were voiced by Steve Little, with the exception of one, who was with the exception of two, the old lady and the sexy lady, who are both voiced by Maria Bamford. In Gut Grinder, the Gut Grinder, Sharon, I think her name was.
Yes.
She was also voiced by Bamford. In It Came from the Nidosphere, Marceline is voiced by Olivia Olson, and her father is voiced by her real-life father, Martin Olson. And in The Eyes, there were no guest voices because only Finn, Jake, and the Ice King had speaking lines.
There you have it.
So let's talk about Twitter, Justin.
Twitter is a very important social medium. I have one, and you should have one, too. If you have one, you can message me at Justin J. Houston. Kevin?
Who's the character Justin reminds you of?
What's his name and Tom go to the mayor? That's what I'm hearing.
I don't know what you were referring to, but we should be talking about Twitter.
Sweet Mary Wine. That's who I'm hearing. At K413 is my Twitter handle. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. Subscribe to that on iTunes, PWP Podcast, what you're searching for in both iTunes and Stitcher. Follow along at PW Ponderings on Twitter. Follow along at PW Ponderings on Twitter. The show goes up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio earlier on Sundays. Otherwise, it's published on pwponderings.com on Mondays. And you can check that Twitter at PW Ponderings to see when the episodes get published.
And if you're disappointed by the lack of pornography on PW Ponderings, my Twitter won't help you at all. But you can follow me at Garoongate or at Burger Weekly. And you can follow the podcast at DG Cool Kids Table.
There's plenty of porn, but no plot.
No, there's neither. There's food porn. There's food porn, but no plot. I don't want people to think that they're going to be seeing pornography on my Twitters. That said, thank you for flooping the pig.
I flooped the pig.